Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast.
Welcome to the Premier View podcast, episode number 125. So last week we were reviewing round one of the Munster Championship, and this week Tip entered the Munster Championship with a very tough assignment into the Gaelic grounds in Limerick there to face the reigning All-Ireland champions. Before we kick off on the review of the game, and we'll also have the preview of next week, there's a very short gap to the next assignment versus Waterford. Best wishes from all in the Premier View podcast, and I suppose the wider Tipperary public too. Peter Casey, who suffered a horrendous ankle injury there. So best wishes to Peter there for the rest of the year, and hope that he'll be back on a playing field soon. But look, that's getting back to the match, I suppose. Look, there was an undertone of pessimism and optimism on our preview pod last week. But, Colm, like we were second best all over the field, and it really leaves us in a sticky situation now. I think it was 227 to 018 for Tipperary. The Casey injury probably meant that the last 20 minutes of that game were played at a challenge match pace. Limerick could have hit over 30 points if they wanted to. Very worrying times for Tipperary.
Yeah, Kevin, look, I mean, my son and my brother-in-law were with me yesterday, and the only word I could sort of utter coming out of the ground the whole time was humiliation. That's what it felt like. It just felt like a humiliation. You know, we said last week that, or I certainly said last week, I was worried because I was looking on the basis of what had happened against Clare in the league semi-final and the previous two championship performances against Waterford and Galway last year. And despite being underdogs and not travelling with much hope, I did expect a performance from us. And we got a performance all right, but what it was Tip's biggest defeat since 1959, from what I can gather, in Munster Championship hurling, our biggest defeat since the late 1940s to Limerick. So, you know, that's the performance we got. You know, we spoke last week about the settled team and that we were worried about, you know, not having a settled team. That really came home to, I thought those chickens came home to roost yesterday. But, you know, where do you start? No energy. We just didn't seem to have any energy on the field. We looked uncomfortable on the ball, lads. I don't understand why inter-county hurlers would look uncomfortable on the ball, but they did. Our puck-out strategy, non-existent. You know, just didn't seem to have a puck-out strategy. I know David Herity is inside there with them. You know, he's supposed to be working on their puck-outs, and I've heard very good things about him, but, you know, just non-existent to me yesterday. No style of play, Kevin. I struggled yesterday to see any style of play. I don't really know what we're trying to do. No leaders. Again, I didn't hear anybody encouraging. I didn't hear anybody shouting. I didn't see anyone drawing a belt. I saw none of that. We lacked confidence completely, like all over the pitch, lacked confidence. And again, if you think about it, that was evidenced by some of the frees that we missed. particularly in the first half, Jason missed a few frees that, you know, normally, I'm not saying they were easy frees, it was a strong breeze down there, but he'd normally put them over. We lost every position on the field. I don't think there's any point in you know, trying to sugarcoat it. Every Tipperary man was second best on the field yesterday. And as you said to earlier, only for the unfortunate injury to poor Peter Casey, I think things could have got a lot worse, because it broke momentum. It broke Limerick's momentum. The play was stopped for 4 or 5 minutes, and you know, it never really got going afterwards. And the last thing I'd say is, you know, I don't understand why we're playing a sweeper against Limerick. I thought, again, like that, we've tried this. Other teams have tried it. Better teams than us have tried it and have failed. You know, Galway tried it a few years ago and it didn't work for them. We mentioned last week, or I certainly mentioned last week, about, you know, pushing up, taking Limerick on, you know, playing more traditional tip hurling. We didn't do that yesterday. Tactically, absolutely annihilated again. You know, our management played complete second best to Kiely and Kinnaird. Again, look, they're not the first management to suffer that fate, but, you know, for a proud county like us to be beaten 15 points in the Munster Championship, it's not acceptable. It's very disappointing. And as I said at the start and said so many times yesterday, it was actually humiliating. And even the Limerick fans coming out, normally there's a bit of needle, there's a bit of ribbon. You know, some of it can be nasty, but, you know, you expect that, I suppose, to an extent. Like, nobody said anything to us walking out of there yesterday, Kevin. Like, you know, it's almost, I won't say they felt pity on us, but it was just a non-event, you know, complete non-event.
Yeah, and maybe looking at the first 20 minutes, I suppose, when, you know, the points went score for score, mostly bit of a breeze there. Tip probably, look, it wasn't the most exciting game, but, you know, Tip would have been very happy with that. Went to kind of 5-all, 6-all, but then, you know, Limerick kind of just took over. They hit their patch. But, you know, I'm just, from your comments there, Colin, and Stephen, will come to you on this. Like, you know, stupidity is maybe doing, because to misquote Fry, stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And, you know, this is, you know, might be like the third or fourth time that this variations of this Tipperary team has went in to play Limerick and hasn't brought anything different, really. Is just, you know, is doing maybe playing a short game we're not that comfortable with, playing, you know, not with an unsettled team, like trying different combinations. And it's just, as the game goes on, Limerick figuring us out. It's just kind of like, it was always going to end up eventually in a beating like this.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and I'd agree with a lot of what Colin said. One of the first worrying things for me anyway was one of the raised eyebrow things. Liam Cahill himself came out and said the talk of an unsettled team, but they weren't unsettled to us, but they were unsettled. Like, we didn't have a consistent team throughout the league. We couldn't pick 1 to 12. We couldn't pick 5 players that were going to play in their positions, you know. Roland Maher was probably the only person we could pick, and I think everyone hoped he would be in further out of the field. It was, we were raggedy, we were, you know, it, I was thinking about this all day, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, because A, they're the ones up there giving everything, but I'm left with questions, question after question after question. We don't have the physical power to beat a first man on our short puckouts. That was seen.
We were
all
eating
the time.
On him, Stephen. We were absolutely eating.
We were eating alive.
Contact.
But we were. I was watching when we were hitting the corner back with the ball. I was watching what's happening out the field. It should be automatic. The lads out the field. The man receiving the ball should know who his options are. You know, the fullback is running off his shoulder. The halfback is coming looking to him. The centre back is coming looking to him. Coming looking to help him, or else is the half forward up on his line? Is he after dragging himself out of the way and he can deliver a ball to the corner forward into space? We don't know what our pattern is. We don't have a phase two on our pocket, and we're not making space ahead of us. Then the forwards, you know, it seems like the movement is non-existent. It seems like We all run into a big crowd where we're not exposing ourselves. Like Mick Kelly said to me, Mick Kelly was our secondary school teacher. He's a Limerick man. You'll know him, Kevin. He's from Clonmel. St. Mary's. Yeah. He said to me, a brave hurler hurl out in the wing. He always used to say to us, because you're one-on-one, you're exposed. If you make a mistake or your faults will always be shown in one-on-one, but a brave person will go out there and do it. I haven't seen that from any of our forwards at all. where it's getting out into space, give me the ball. And it's very, very hard to see what we're trying to do. We can't go long because none of them can win a ball. We can't go short because we can't work the ball up the field. It's infuriating. Yesterday was infuriating. Today was just pure disappointment. And it's hard to see where we get it, where we get the lift from for this weekend, because it looks like the team is mentally broken. After 10 minutes, it was we're in for it here today now. You know, we look like we couldn't run. We look like we couldn't make decisions. As Colm said, there's one thing an intercounty player will all have is over a club player. His first touch is excellent. We looked so scattery. You know, our touch was brutal. We were poking a ball to a lad's feet. He was fumbling ball, dropping out of our hands. What happened yesterday, how it happened, I don't know. But what happened yesterday in tip jerseys just was not good enough. And that's not completely without blame on the management either. They have to hold their hands up as well. Like, because we don't know, are they working on this stuff in training? If they are, then the lads can't execute it. If they're not, then no wonder they can't execute it. And it's just, there's so many questions about this tip team and the management that it's hard to see. Like, I'm going down to Watford next week, and it's just, I'm hoping rather than expecting that.
Yeah, and one of the, I suppose, more interesting, I suppose, in the post-match was Liam Kyle, in fairness to him, gave a fairly extensive and honest interview, you'd have to say. I wonder, is it a bit too honest? And you could tell from him how deflated he was after and how disappointed he was. And, you know, he's like, he said there'd have to be consequences, and, like, you know, that could be read a few different things. I think maybe he said, look, they'll have to go back to the drawing board, but you don't really have enough time to be doing that. And maybe, like, again, I don't want to be kind of make like overly critical. As I said, you have to take these two matches together, like, you know, and if we do get the 2 points from Waterford, you'd draw a line through that Limerick game and say, look, that was too bad to be true, and whatever tip team playing later on in the championship would be really different, I suppose, in personnel and shape and all the rest of it. Like, you do see teams kind of build as championship games go on. But, like, you know, just Sean, maybe looking at Liam Kyle, like, you know, like, he's, I suppose he's general, he'll be the first one that they all look to in the dressing room now to kind of get the confidence back and to start building towards that Waterford game. But geez, he was fierce disappointed coming off on Sunday evening there.
Yeah, he was very frustrated. Like, behind him, the cover standing there for most of the game, and he was livid at times. He was just a simple errors, handling errors, passes to space where we had no one even in it. Like, there was one stage in the first half where kept hitting balls up to the far right corner, you know, cover standing to see the end, and there's no one there. No, I was kind of wondering, going, was our game plan someone's meant to be there and no one executing it? And but we kind of mentioned during the week that we needed our forwards to score, like, you know, get in score. We need lads to book at 3, 4, 5 points. Like, we'd no one there, pint to each at most. No, but then decision making, caught not taking the ball in hand, touching the hurley, or losing a second. Limerick are in, ball's gone. Like, you know, Sean Hayes' goal, if he got the ball in hand, gone away, could have changed the game there. That was a
Yeah,
6-all,
bit
down to 12-6 up. Like, but
of a sliding doors moment, all right, could have been. But look, you could have said Kyle Hayes was unlucky to be blown down the other end as well.
similar, it was similar in the second half as well. Like, for the moment, patch there where Bonner came on, and for some reason, people around me kind of had a
Lit
bit
up.
of, geez, we have a bit of chance here, or so, whatever. Bonner got a point, then we did bad puck out, we won out, turned over another ball, got a point, but then the other end, goals, points. I think they got 2-7 to our point in that period, and that was anyway. But there was no even drive there, we went down ahead. Like, obviously, tip teams lose, and we've been many game or lost, but you know, lads would give a draw, and they'd hit a few belts and, you know, die in the field. But Jesus Christ, going away there, like, people couldn't get out of the stadium fast enough. And he actually echoed there that Limerick lads weren't even jeering and leaving area. It was kind of pity, I'd say, as he said there. Just, I've never been Limerick and not had any abuse thrown at me, which is very odd, so I'm not sure why. But like, we never weren't. Not that we weren't expecting to beat Limerick. Like, you know, we said we might have a chance, good performance, but this has set us back more than that. Like, you know, we're about losing by 3 or 4 points and lads getting a performance. And like to say if Tynan got 3 or 4 points and, you know, lads scored, they wanted it done well, put their hands up. But the next day, how could change 7, 8, 9 players next day? Like, if he does, I won't argue it, like, you know.
Yeah, and look, I suppose look, we scored 18 points, which is a score that probably like a Westmeath or a Carlow would put up against Limerick in a league game. So like we do have to look at the forwards first. The wild card was in the starting 15 was Sean Hayes. As I said, you know, he was hooked at half time. It didn't go well for him. But I think just tallying it up here now, Adam English, who came on for 15 minutes or so, scored 4 points, which is one less than the starting tip six forwards got from play. Which kind of says it all, doesn't it?
I'm a fan of Sean Hayes from with a long time, and I give him a little bit of, you know, you have to give him a little bit of, cut him a little bit of slack here. He's making his championship.
Oh
debut.
Yeah, and I don't want to be seen to be like pointing,
no,
but
picking
on him at all.
What I want to get is, I totally understand him maybe being nervous on the day and things not going his way, making the wrong decisions. But there's five other forwards there, and you know, a couple of them have all Ireland medals now at senior level with Tipperary, and the complete lack of leadership up in the forwards, all over the field, but up the forwards particularly, because forwards win you games. The complete lack of leadership up there is so glaringly obvious, like that. You know, you're wondering, where are we ever going to get leadership again? Noel McGrath and Bonner Mark came on the field and showed more leadership in within 5 minutes of entering the pitch than any of the six forwards from the start of the game, you know, and two midfielders included in that. Like, you know, it's just not good enough, and it's like you wonder what's going on. Is it intense enough in training? Is it intense enough? Like, are we creating an intense environment where lads are, they're all pent up and they're not, they can't hurl with that freedom and that calmness? You know, there's something, like, I hope it's just an anomaly, and it's not an anomaly, because this is going on now. This is probably the fourth game we're after absolutely stinking the place out. Like, you know, the Waterford and Galway last year,
the
Clare game,
made on the, basically, like, if you take the Offaly game out, which was a non-event against McDonough team, but like, yeah, you're right, that's four big games in a row,
you know. And again, like, I don't want to throw lads under the bus, right? But I'm at the stage now where, and I've said this before, that if we poked in a ball to our tip forwards and they were a 60-40, they had a couple of yards on them, I don't trust them to win possession. I don't trust them to get a clean possession, because they'll go with the hurley, they'll fumble the ball. You poke a ball into Aaron Galan or even Owen Kelly back in his pump when the rest of the team probably wasn't as strong, get that ball into him and he'll make something happen. We don't have the forward to do that anymore. We don't have the Shamie Callan, the Owen Kelly. We don't have the young Noel McGrath, these lads.
Peter Duggan there, again, you know, 2 hours before tip ended,
exactly.
Gave an exhibition.
Like, there's lads around on that team now with the Wild. They're very good. The talent is there. But when is the leadership going to come with it? You know, when is the, you know what, lads, give me the ball. When is that going to come? Like, TJ Reid, Jesus Christ, you poke a ball down to TJ Reid, he's 35 years of age, he's going to win a fire. Like, we don't even have a man to break even on a 50-50. You know, these are things that should be fundamentals in Tipperary, and we've lost them completely. You know, like, we haven't a man to catch a ball in the air. We might catch one or two in a whole game. That's not good enough for Tipperary hurling.
Did we get too obsessed about who's going to mark who with Limerick, how we're going to kind of set up against them? Did we forget about ourselves, what we're good at, kind of? Look at the days of probably just sending 50 lads out and telling them to hurl or gone or whatever. But were we too preoccupied maybe with, look, who's tracking Kyle Hayes? And, you know, he ends up getting the freedom of Gaelic Park for all the plans I'm sure that were made for him, you know, in the first half.
I think like, there's a lot of talk, Kevin. And like, you know, Stephen Shaw, myself, like, anyone who talks about hurling nowadays talks about tactics and game plans and all of that. But, you know, and Stephen and Sean have articulated well there, like, if the heart and desire isn't there, at a very basic level, you're going to struggle. And to me, that's the most disappointing part about yesterday. I just didn't see enough heart. I didn't see enough desire. I didn't see enough fight. Like, you don't expect, like, as I said earlier on, we weren't expecting to go down there and beat Limerick yesterday. I was thinking if we were there with 10 minutes to go, you know, and give it a rattle and see how we get on, like, that would be good. But to be honest with you, I know you mentioned the first 20 minutes and it was 6-6 or something, but I at no stage thought yesterday, I thought Limerick were poor enough in the first 20 to 25 minutes. We were hanging in there, just about. We were kind of reacting to stuff that was going on rather than making it happen. And you know, having said that, we shouldn't be talking about game plans. I am going to say this, like when we looked at the team last week and we spoke about it here on the pod, we said, you know, it's probably a team that's been picked to run at Limerick. You know, there was a bit of pace in the forwards. We seemed to do it or half do it for 15 or 20 minutes. And then we just stopped doing it. Like, you know, that kind of went out the window. And like, as I said earlier on, and you've asked the question there about should we go back to, I think what you're alluding to is more traditional style of hurling, you know, maybe we should, because we just don't look comfortable. I said that earlier on as well. We just don't look comfortable in what we're doing at the moment. And we don't look comfortable, as Stephen said as well, in the basics of it. So controlling the slitter, stick passing, catching the ball, like that was all very, very poor. And we're being told that, and I think we agree that the best players in the county are in there. So, like, who's that on? Is that on management or is it on players? Because, you know, the players can't be, the players aren't that bad. Like, so there's something wrong someplace. You know, maybe it's a mixture of both players and management. I really don't know. But what we saw yesterday was just an abomination. Like, it was just not good enough. And I can't be any straighter about it. It just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I'd agree. And on your point, Kevin, when you're picking players to suit their operas, that's a job for a couple of backs. When you pick forwards, first of all, they have to be forwards. They have to work hard then. So when you're picking Alan Tyne at half forward and you're telling him your job is to mark Kyle Hayes, what you're doing there effectively is you're removing him out of the game, because and you're nullifying his assets. Because if he's the focus on Kyle Hayes, he can't get involved then when a tip man has the ball, because if it breaks down, Kyle Hayes is free. And it's something I've always hated growing up and playing hurling all my life, is when you're constantly talking about the other team and what we're going to do with that fella, with this fella. We need to stop that lad because he's so good. Dude, give jobs to the backs. Pick your forwards who you think are the best forwards in the game, and play to their strengths. Don't start delegating 5-6 lads up there to certain positions because Kyle Hayes is so good or because Declan Hannan is so. That I think that has you on the back foot straight away, and it puts a fear of certain players in our lads' minds, whereas we should be using the assets of Stephen, Alan Tynan.
You know, like, I'd agree. That's probably a club level. There's always one or two exceptional hurlers where you need a plan for. Look, you mentioned Mick Kelly around. I'll go another one. Like, say, Bears grew up, it was always Richie McGrath and Bubbles for the Davins. Make them tick. You know, and you have a plan for them, lads. But that's club hurling. That's fucking under 21B or whatever. This is inter-county where everyone can do damage. And you're robbing people to Paul. You know, so...
Exactly. I don't agree with it. I think you set out your best stall. Focus on your lads first. And look, we had who was marking Hegarty? Hegarty had a quiet game. The job was done back there. You know, that's okay back there. Mike, it's not okay up top.
Yeah, and look, lads, we have to, I suppose, look, it is a short turnaround. It's 5-6 days now till we're back on the horse again down in Walsh Park. Waterford have their tails up again. They'll be really fancying their chances. You know, looking at the weekend, is it David somehow tried to put a spin on it that they're the underdogs? It's a Saturday night game. There'll probably be a few pints kind of around the city in that beforehand. It'll be a good atmosphere. Hopefully a bit of sun, like, you know, and it's do or die for Tipperary. So, like, Sean, maybe can you see wholesale changes here? Or is it a case of maybe giving the bulk of that starting 15 one chance to write it? You know, this is maybe like, you know, they had a training camp in Portugal. Things went well, all the vibes and all that. You know, the vibes were kind of generally good from the camp. Like, do you give that the bulk of that starting 15? I'm sure there will be some changes. Do you give them a chance maybe to go out and hurl like they can against Waterford, or you just rip up the plan and start again?
Like, the vibes at Portugal were good. Like, you know, they were trained well. You know, some lads were injured or covering, you know. So, but Kaz Commons after kind of made it think that he's going to rip it up a bit. You know, there's stuff you mightn't say out in public straight after game, but that's how emotional he probably was. He just would live it with it. Like, Barrett back in anyway, like, hopefully will there be a change of goals? You know, that could be one
risk. You know, that wasn't kind of, you know, in contention for the first kind of like the first 26, you know, like for last 1 week, is suddenly like a contender to start now.
Sorry, he played a full league game nearly for across the same weekend, you know,
that word
up in the
intensity.
forwards, and he scored. I know it's not tense, he was still movement going, but like, where do you do positional change? Like, does Roland go to six, like, and let him hurl there? But Breen back in, to be fair, Breen does the job where he goes, like, even the other day now, I actually thought myself and Bo pretty even says good, like, you know, O'Mara maybe caught in the middle of field, but Hines, we didn't know where we were looking at, so the Aripo. What their plan, like, they knew probably the team themselves, the players are free train in their lines, whatever, when they're away in the camps and stuff. So they rip it up completely and then try a new game plan if learning 4 or 5 days. Like,
yeah, and that goes back to the number one as well, Sean, doesn't it? The goalie,
yeah.
As in, you know, like it's hard to judge. We don't know again the puck out plan from the outside and stuff.
But is the puck out, was a problem on the forwards and half midfield not going to where the ball should be? Because Hogue was way, and then he hit it, and he'd be mid high down the middle and had hands in the air. I was like, what the fuck? But, like, was he giving take of someone not being there or Hogan doing it? So, you know, but then he no short option. He flicked a few to Rowan then because he no one on, and Rowan just launched. Like, you know, so just either or then. But I can see 3 or 4 changes on it, if not more.
I think the first thing we'll have to ask for, Kevin, is that, you know, to use a kind of an old-fashioned saying, they'll just have to die with their boots on at a minimum for us next Saturday night. You know, I agree with you. You know, with what you're saying, we probably need a stronger spine. I'd have Michael Breen back to 3. I'd probably have a look at Ronan maybe going out to 6. Maybe bring Tynan back to midfield where he's done his best hurling. Jason Ford into 14, 11. I don't know. Maybe Gerard O'Connor again, like on the basis that, you know, people tell me that he was very good in the Fitzgibbon and different things. I don't have as much mass in the Fitzgibbon as you lads know, as other people do. I just personally haven't seen Gerard O'Connor really play all that well for Tipperary on any occasion. But, you know, maybe put him to 11 and play a game that the players understand and are a bit more comfortable with. Bring a bit more aggression and energy. Because, you know, at risk of repeating myself, the minimum I thought we'd bring to the first game yesterday was aggression and energy. We just didn't bring that, you know, so we'll have to bring that. I mean, if there's, God forgive me for saying it, but if there's anything in this group like that, it'll surely come out on Saturday night down in Waterford.
Is this the fifth time we're saying that though? No,
Galway
Waterford game. And
Kevin, look, I've been the one probably banging that drum the most, as you lads know. You'd be saying it to me, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, we're supporters. Like, you have to support the team. You have to look. Like, what do you, like, I mean, I've heard fellas today saying, oh, I wouldn't go and support him, or I wouldn't go and watch him. Like, you know what I mean? Or,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've no interest anymore because the team are going so bad. But yet, you know, I presume they've no problem going on to social media or WhatsApp groups or anything else, you know, talking crap and slagging off the team. Like, you know, so, you know, Cal has asked for and I said this last week, Cal asked for the Tip public to back the team. I think the Tip public need something to back more than what we saw yesterday and in the semi-final and in the last two games that year. And if we see something a little bit more on Saturday night, it will give us something. But it is hard to see green shoots at the moment. Like, we really are in a hole at the moment, you know.
And that's the thing, you know, I feel like regardless of Like, look, our score difference took a hit on Sunday. And Munster, I looked it up. The way it's being done in Munster is the kind of the old-fashioned way, if you will. So if two teams finish together, it's the four games are taken, your score difference there, whereas Leinster, it's the teams that are level. You know, say if three teams finish on 4 points, it'd be just the score difference between themselves. So, like, we took a hit there. But, you know, like, in a way, we probably were expecting a loss to Limerick. And with Waterford's win over Cork, this is really a kind of a must-performing game. Technically not a must win, because if you beat Cork and Clare, you're still, you know, 4 points might qualify you. But, you know, for Tipperary, any serious aspirations this year, this is the game that they really need 2 points from.
Yeah, I think it's a must win, because if you don't win this game, you're going into Cork and Clare on the back of a disaster performance and then a loss, and that's not taking into the performance that might come. We're at such a low ebb now that even scraping a win, even a ball ricocheting off a fella's helmet and going over the bar getting us the win in the last minute would bring a lift to the county, bring a lift to the players, you know, like. And it's just, it's my worst nightmare about to come true, going down to Waterford and probably and with the possibility of being knocked out of the championship. Like, the lads further up the county, it's a disaster for Tipperary getting knocked out, but for us down around the border to be getting knocked out of the championship by them is going to be absolutely horrible. And I hope they can pull something out of the fire next week, this weekend, and get some sort of a, now the time for performance is gone. We're going down there to win, by hook or by crook or any way at all. I don't care. If Noel McGrath picks the ball off the ground and buries into the back of the net and gets away with it, I don't care how we get
The
the
dirtier the
result.
wind, the better, actually, to be perfectly honest. An Ozzie Gleeson kind of, like, style mishap for Waterford would be perfect.
But bring
Yeah.
that kind of aggression, darkness, and just in their face. Bring it, like, you know, bring the game to Waterford and see, that's
Yeah,
why
do
they need to
something.
try
It's
it.
like the kind of, you know, just do something to
It
make the supporters feel good.
this
Go.
has to be an emotional match for Tipperary hurling. It has to be a passionate match. You need the structure, you need the design, you need the professional and all that. But we're in do or die territory here now.
And look, Cal, in fairness to him and Bevins, they have got reactions from previous teams that they have been with. Like, look, take it down the under 20, under 21 losses to Cork and times of Munster, where they have got a good reaction.
I
They
think the
have,
players
but
know.
sorry,
Go on,
go ahead,
Stephen.
Sean, go ahead.
I think the players know that, like, as well, the way Caddis live it, like, they know that you've actually seen it with 21 teams like that. Got an idea of Cork and then turned around and sitting there in Cork or shell shocked. Like, how could a team turn around? Like, we know our players have it, but it's just, can they bring it, and not just one of them bring it and the other five
And
lads
not just
looking
for
on and
20
going,
minutes, Sean, as well, I think is the.
yeah, exactly. Leadership is needed now, big time down here. Like, I wouldn't even be going down the route of scourging into him this week in training. You know, be grabbing. I think everyone needs to grab each other around the shoulder now this week, and have a quiet chat to each other about what they need to do for each other. I'd be of the opinion, forget the fans, forget the weight of the jersey, forget your parish. Them boys now need to go down here and get a win for themselves. You know, the confidence is on the ground. The performance last weekend, even though everyone expected us to get better, we probably expected to get better ourselves. That performance the weekend was so confidence sapping. You know, you wonder where we're going to get the confidence from. So rather than being aggressive in their approach and training, as in barking at them, and, you know, this, get each other now, grab each other around the shoulders and have a fucking talk to each other. You know, a quiet word to each other, run a mile, grab everyone, management and all, and tell each other what they need to do this weekend to get over the line. You know what I mean? We're in desperate times now, and we have to get something.
Absolutely, because, you know, it could be said that, you know, is it part, like, if we don't look, they're the marquee team, and is it part of a, you know, like a wider malaise in Tipperary hurling, not just kind of focused on, you know, call them, like, on just the team, but like the setup. Why are we maybe a bit behind other counties in terms of, you know, what we're bringing in, how we're supporting kind of our development squads, all that sort of stuff? Like, have we just kind of taken our eye off the ball?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Kevin. Like, do the wider Tipperary GAA public and right up to the top of the county board have questions to answer. I mean, if you look at some of the stuff that's went on this year, for example, it's hard to have a whole lot of confidence in the administrators and you know, the way GAA is running the county. We had the recent championship draw fiasco, is all you could call it. I mean, that was just embarrassing. We've no centre of excellence, you know, at the moment at all. Our underage teams, from, you know, talking to different lads around the county that are involved, are begging for the basics, you know, whether it's drinks after the game or, you know, sweets at halftime or whatever it is, even small little things, there seems to be an issue with it. I've asked this question before, no one can seem to answer it for me. Have we enough games development officers in the county GDAs? I don't know. How do we compare to other counties? I don't know. I suspect probably not very good. So that needs to be, you know, that needs to be asked. We have a CEO who you know was appointed. There was a rigorous competition put in place, you know, that it was advertised, you know, and not really sure what he's doing or what has he improved things for us. You know, it's a high profile post. I don't know what the man is doing or what he's not doing. I'm not a big social media guy. I know you guys know that. Beyond Premier View, really, I don't take a whole lot of interest in it. But I do see from our, you know, sort of PRO side, very shoddy mistakes regularly, even in names of lads playing picked on teams or their clubs. Like that's not really good enough. Like, you know, I heard as well recently again about our commercial income. Where are we with that? I think we're down among the bottom of the counties in Munster. That's not good enough. We need I think we need an injection of a really, really good sponsor. Because if you look now at the big teams, lads, like, it's no, like, you know, privately what I think about JP McManus doesn't matter. But I mean, what he's doing for Limerick Hurling and the money that he's pumped into him, it's no surprise to me that they've won, that they're going for five in a row this year. You know, they are the most professional hurling setup in the country. And that's mirrored by Dublin as well. Again, you know, an awful lot of money going into the Dublin team from different avenues in football, and they're, you know, the dominant team. So, I mean, there are only a quick few things that I can mention. I'm sure there's other issues, but I do think, to answer your question, that there seems to be a bit of a malaise. There is questions to answer, and look, like, we're all members of clubs. You know, maybe it's you know, it's beholden on us maybe to be asking these questions and not just to be talking about it on a podcast. But I do feel passionately about this, and I think these questions need to be asked and need to be answered. And if that's an overreaction to yesterday, well then, you know, I'm guilty as charged. But, you know, I felt this for a long time.
Yeah, look, you could say, look, there is a bit of an inter-county arms race at the moment in terms of spend, but, you know, like, you can't really, really control what you, like, you spend to a degree. There's certain things the players will expect, as you said, in terms of nutrition, mileage, all the rest of it. But yeah, I'd agree, like, on the income. Are we stuck maybe a bit, like, back in the 2010, right, with the county board draw and that, like, but, you know, us other counties are raffing house. I know there's talk of tip to them now in October and that, but yeah, we just seem a bit kind of behind, and like it's nearly a crisis point with the finances there now. So, I mean, board a few years ago, they just kind of went back into the ether, like, you know.
Exactly. I mean, we ran a night of the dogs recently, Kevin. I mean, that's what club teams do. Yeah. You know what I mean? To finance a, you know, an intermediate or a junior hurling team, like, you know, and we have an inter-county team with players racing greyhounds around Thurles. Like, I mean, it's laughable stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's not good enough. And you know, it's good. And we discussed this last week. It's great to see our under 17s and our much maligned under 20s going so well this year. And, you know, hopefully we'll get lads out of that. And maybe what we're seeing now is a result of maybe we took our eye off the ball for 4 or 5 years. I don't know. With regards to underage teams, but I definitely think there's enough issues there, enough questions that need answering. And
look, it is, you know, in the county board's defense, it is, they are trying to fund kind of two codes to a good standard with football. Not all counties do that, and, you know, there might have to be a discussion there on, you know, like, the future of both codes as well. Like, what can we do? Like, you know, as a, like, we're not population wise, we're not the biggest county, but, like, yeah, there is probably a few missed opportunities there getting new people involved and driving that income piece. As I said, maybe the expenditure, you're committed to most of it if you want to be successful, but the income piece is definitely something maybe we need to be thinking a bit bigger.
But the problem is, like, all this stuff will come to head. If not far on the field, people are wondering why, like, something off field. Off, and then something wrong off field, it might go on the field. So that's why a lot of stuff last week with all foreigners on the field, people kind of question stuff. And when people start questioning stuff, then people start thinking that's the problem. And then when there's no answers there and they're querying
Yeah,
stuff, you
it's
know.
obviously not one single thing. Like, yeah, you know,
No.
it's just like we could probably be better in a lot of areas on and off the field.
But we bait water for it.
But yeah,
You
like,
know.
you know, it is backs are against the wall now that. So the other games, as I said, like I was watching the Clare Cork game, excellent, really enjoyed it. Just as a rip roaring Munster Championship game, ebbed and flowed. Clare, in fairness to
But
them,
did you find
they're
it a
backs
bit
against the wall.
loose at times at all? No,
Yeah, but that's Cork hurling all
I know,
over,
but
like, you know.
there's a lot of easy scores. Like, you know,
There
there's
were a lot
danger
of,
up and
I'd
down the
say, like,
field.
Sean, I thought they were just like some exceptional scores, like over the shoulder,
Yeah.
out by the sideline stuff. You know, like, normally you won the game, the four, you know, four or five, like, the amount of low percentage of shots that were, again, horrible when you're taking the artistry out of hurling and calling, like, an over the shoulder shot from out by the sideline, low percentage, like, you have to love to see it when they go over. Like, but you know, and they were just flying, it really, really ebbed and flowed the game. Key
Clare
decision,
did.
probably a bit of stupidity from the Cork
Oh,
from
yeah. And
being
Clare was, I
taking.
think, the score, and actually, same. I was reading there this morning, it was the same kind of storm. Clare scored 2-7 to Cork's 2 points in like 12, 15 minutes. And tip, Limerick done the same to tip 2-7 to 2 points second half. But it's sending off. It's one of these ones where it's a yellow card, but it's not a second yellow card, as I
Oh, I
call
would
it.
have said it's the second yellow. I would just have, like, anyway. It's he's. I think it was just he looked them up, he sized them up, and off you go. Like,
Stood there.
yeah,
A
yeah.
big turning point of the game, though, as well, was the really bad decision from Barrett going through on goal when he had a free man to his right-hand side and he tried to take a really, really hard shot in his own self that he ended, I think, ended up going wide. And there's a man
Yeah, I think
roaring
it
at
was
him on the,
Connolly, was it? Yeah, roaring at
yeah,
him.
like, I'm thinking Kilkenny back in the heyday, Shamey Callum back in his pomp when he was going through, he'd pop that ball off the bubbles, vice versa. Many a time they did. And they had Clare on the rocks big time then. And
Yeah,
that was, for me,
Horgan.
that was, there was only going to be one winner if that went into the goal.
Horgan was
I
excellent
said,
as well.
yeah, I said, yeah.
I
He rolled
stupidly
back the
put in a,
years.
yeah, I stupidly put in a text into the pod group at about 2 minutes past two when he missed the first free or whatever. He
I
said he's finished or whatever. Like,
know,
so I think he got 2-10 in the end and might
lads,
have got man of the match.
you kind of accuse me of being a Cork cheerleader, and maybe I am to an extent, but I
Oh,
mean,
you're a Cal cheerleader.
but look, the thing about Cork is, you know, we hear regularly, you know, Cork are soft, or, you know, we take Cork or whatever. We're not within, like, and I said this off air to you, in my opinion, we're not within an arse's roar of Cork at the moment, lads. Not within an arse's roar of them. Like, what did they score yet? I didn't see the game yesterday, but what did they score? 324?
324, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, against, let's call a duck, a good Clare team, like, you know, like, they have a game plan, they've better structure in us, they've better forwards than us, they've pace. They're not perfect by any means. Like, and you know, they're liable to the odd brain fart, and you know, their full back line, you know, particularly their full back looks exposed at times. But this, I mean, to me, over the last 2 years, Cork have, like, I know we should have beat them down there last year, but we didn't. But in any case, to me at the moment, Cork are ahead of us, lads. They are ahead of us. We are fifth in Munster at the moment. And I mean, I was sort of laughing at Wexford on Saturday. I know we might talk about that in a second, like, you know, going up to Antrim and losing. But I'm not sure how many would we have beaten any tier one counties yesterday. I'm struggling to think of any of them that we would have beaten. You know, we'd have struggled against any of them, I think, yesterday. And you know, that's not a good place to be, like. And you know, so look, you know, you see Kilkenny go up to Galway yesterday. Did they score 29 points? Was that it?
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah,
Yeah.
222 Galway, yeah. Or
Yeah,
six
you
points.
know, like these are the teams we used
Carabao
to.
probably scored 18 points, didn't they, against Dublin? Probably got more, actually.
Yeah, they were well in that as well.
You're
Yeah.
well, yeah.
You know, I mean, the teams that we should be benchmarking ourselves against are running up much bigger scores, are eking out results, or if they're losing, they're losing by a couple of points. They're not losing by a score a man like we did yesterday. But look, the funny thing about all this is, if we go down to Waterford next Saturday night and win, there's a different conversation being had next Monday night on this pod, isn't there? You know what I mean? And
Absolutely, we have to give them the chance, you know, to, we'll hopefully
that's
happen.
the thing. Like, so And you know, I'm always saying to people, you have to be a bit balanced in it. Like, and maybe I mean, I don't want to be going down a rabbit hole of like, we're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed, the sky's falling in. But you know, I repeat, yesterday was very embarrassing. It was humiliating as a supporter to be down there. It wasn't good. But that narrative could quite easily turn around next Saturday night. And you know, I'll be at the game. I think you have to stick with it now. Players, supporters, management, you just have to stick with it now. Like, you know, and you'll appreciate the good days all the more when they come back. And don't forget, I'll never forget 2009. We were talking about it coming home in the car yesterday evening. Like, we absolutely humiliated Limerick and Croke Park. I think it was the game that Kiely sort of made up his mind that he was going to get involved, you know, with Limerick teams, because, you know, he said that this can never happen to a Limerick team again. Like, you know, so, you know, the worm always does turn. Just right now, it's taken a long time to, you know, to reverse and move around. But hopefully, you know, it will. And this is a, you know, it's a bad day today. But like, as I said, a win next Saturday night changes all of that.
Yeah, we're not, you know, the hope, as I said, like we're not too far away. We just need that breakthrough win, that breakthrough performance, really, to kind of settle a few nerves. And that performance against Limerick will be forgotten about. But yeah, as you mentioned there, Colin, like Wexford probably the other talking point from the weekend, a late collapse against Dublin and a no show against Antrim. Antrim, brilliant victory. Don't want to take that away from, but that's Wexford done after a week of Leinster Championship hurling.
Yeah, congratulations to Darren Gleeson, you know, a tip man involved up there. Fair play to him. You know, they obviously targeted this game. They seem to have almost forfeited the Kilkenny game the week before. Like, they took a bit of a tank, and didn't they, down in Nolan Park, Antrim? And
Yeah, right,
obviously,
thank
yeah, they had their minds probably on this game, and you know, they've Corrigan Park, by all accounts, a difficult place to go and win. Like, so, you know, they probably had earmarked this game, and you know, fair play to them. Like, they've given themselves their real chance now. I think they play Dublin in Parnell Park. And that's probably, if I'm not mistaken, that'd be the game for third, wouldn't it, if things pan out? But of course, the funny thing about Wexford is, and Sean and Stephen will know this as well, Wexford could go to Nolan Park and beat Kilkenny. Like, you know,
you.
this it wouldn't be unheard of for that to happen.
They done it last year, didn't they? Last game, was it?
Was it last year they did it? Yeah.
They needed to stay up, didn't they? I think was it last year? I think Kilkenny
Yeah,
were rested.
they got 5 goals against Kilkenny, didn't they? Last year against Kilkenny B or whatever, they were in threat of relegation. Which was
Even at inter-county level, there's a weird mental block for teams with certain teams. Like Wexford can go down and beat Kilkenny, and they may well do that again this year, but can't go up to Antrim. Like Tipperary could well go down to Waterford this weekend and win, but there's something about Limerick that makes them just schoolboys again. You know, I'm hoping that it's just the Limerick jersey have the Limerick lads have got under the skin so badly that they're just mentally froze on a day against Limerick because Limerick are just such a great team, and then we can see a brand new Tip team. You could easily see Wexford go down to Kilkenny or whatever the game is this year and get a result because they've had real good success the last few years now against Kilkenny.
Yeah, and just let's God well, lads. I still think they're going nowhere again. This is a hostage to fortune, maybe on if Henry wants to pull it out and you use it for inspiration, maybe for next. But look, it was I thought that he was kind of stewarding there, so it wasn't too impressed. Kind of felt it was a bit shadow boxing. Kilkenny,
That's
when they get their few
harshes.
players back, they'll be much better than Galway.
We're missing three. What
Galway,
are
yeah,
Cody Murphy and who's the other one on the backs?
Yeah,
Cody.
and like maybe 1 point, you know, Glynn came on for Galway. I think Jason Flynn as well. They are another county, you know, probably ourselves in Cork as well, just reaching for the older lads when, you know, to go on and win games like.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's hard to read that into a Kilkenny and Galway game in the Leinster rounds. They're just targeting a Leinster final and whoever can get into an All-Ireland semi-final. That's their bread and butter.
And avoid
Like,
Limerick.
yeah, that's
Yeah,
all.
true.
They've a handy doddle through Leinster, and then as shadow boxing as the lad said, tis I wouldn't read anything into that game at all. Good, bad, nor indifferent.
There's going to be some scrap for third, though. Like, it's going to make it very good. Like, and to be
Yeah.
fair, Antrim yesterday, like, they took their goal. Like, their touch, like, hand to ball, what we're saying, you know, get the ball in your hand. live a chance for goal. And they've done that more times. The ball across square, one hand, he turned and hit in the same stride. Like, you know, like that was them doing it. Like, you know, we didn't see any of that blowing Gaelic Park or fucking Gaelic
I
grounds.
think Darren Gleeson, he mentioned, I think it was an Noel Dundon-esque article from, you know, the Tipperary equivalent a few years ago on the Anglo-Celt or whatever is up there, like, you know, kind of might have called a bit of two Antrim players out or their
Oh, the
preparation.
Irish News, think it was.
Yeah, the Irish
Yeah.
News it was, you're
He
right.
slandered them. Yeah, I've seen a few quotes from actually during the week online.
Yeah. So look, it's all those little advantages, isn't it? Using whatever you can to get that extra percentage out of a team, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah.
Think it's worth mentioning as well, Kevin, our minor camogie team had a great win in the All-Ireland over the weekend as well. I saw a couple of videos knocking around today of them celebrating down in Kilkenny, so congratulations to them. It's great to see. I think they beat Waterford in the final as well, so that's very nice to see. You know, it's, you know, it's any time a Tipperary team wins in All-Ireland or, you know, wins anything, I'm always very happy to see it, even if I wouldn't be following it as closely maybe as
Yeah,
some
absolutely. And you know,
people.
the league, the seniors had a very good league win. They opened their Munster campaign, I think it's this Saturday.
Waterford.
Like, yeah, against Waterford as well in Mallow. To get up to correction on that. But like, yeah, for the Tip Camogie at all levels seems to be building nicely. Again, we might do a bit of an in-depth with them, maybe kind of see the lay of the land there in a few weeks if they're about.
There's some development going in, like even the schools, like they're slaying thirds in the press, like they're competing in the A Munster final against you, like, you know, and like go to show, like when it's at grassroots, you know, underage level, and it's coming up and it's starting to filter through because minors, All-Ireland champions, seniors last year, beat Munster champions, beaten in the final, you know, league champions this year, like it's filtering up, like, and that's from
Yeah.
just development underage, and you even see it in our own club there, the Camogie underage, under 10s, under 12s, like you see them and there's a crowd, I'm like, you know, it's there's a right buzz around, and that's just it's a buzz because they're seeing the other teams winning, so they want to be like them,
Oh
you
yeah, and
know.
seeing my own club, St. Mary's, is probably the best thing that's happened to the club in the last 3 or 4 years by a mile,
Yeah.
is the reinvigoration of the Camogie. And you know, it gets so many other people involved. It's just great to see. And I think, you know, over the next 20 years, there will be challenges playing pitch space and all the rest of them more playing. But yeah, I think clubs just to really embrace it, and you know, drive on, because the amount of, as you said, like the amount of kind of like good it's doing for clubs generally, it's great to see. And you know, fair play to Tip.
Just maybe to mention as well, we have the minor footballers are playing the Darrell D'Arcy Cup final tomorrow night against Clare, and then our minor hurlers are playing Clare. I think it's on Thursday night
Thursday night, yeah.
in the Munster Minor Hurling Championship. And as I said earlier on, like, you know, both that football and hurling team have been definitely, you know, standout teams for Tip so far this year. They've been both really impressive. They both the footballers and the hurlers, they both play a really nice style of football and hurling. You know, some really nice players coming up. I know it's hard to judge at that age. They're only young chaps, but at the same time, it is encouraging to see in football and in hurling that we are, you know, getting our act together again and pushing on. And hopefully, you know, that in a few more years, some of those names will be powering us back up to where I think we belong at the top table. You know, so good luck to those two teams on tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow night, the footballers, if I'm not
Yeah,
mistaken.
tomorrow night's football, yeah.
Yeah, down
Definitely
in
great
the
spread of
new.
clubs involved as well.
Yeah, the new home of Limerick GAA seems to be Rathkeel for some reason. There's a lot of games going on down there. It's quite appropriate, maybe, I don't know. And then I think that the Tip Clare game is I think that's at home for us on Thursday night. So best of luck to those two teams.
It's coming thick and fast, lads. That definitely isn't this time of year.
Under 20s are playing as well on Friday. Against
Yeah. Against
home to
Cork.
Cork. Yeah.
Yeah,
So I think
that's at
that's
the
on
stadium.
TG4.
It's in the stadium, Sean, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. You'll be, you know, the old golf widows, the WGA widows now at Intercounty. So, maybe not after Saturday.
I think there's actually 20 games on all week at TG4 this week. I saw you up this morning. Every night there's a game on either YouTube, football, or hurling. No, so we have TG4 promoting that. Like, fair play to them.
Yeah, exactly. And the work they do, like, is just exceptional. They'd always have some game on somewhere. Right, lads, predictions before we go. This is the only Munster game on this weekend. Sean, go to you first. Actually, I'll go first. I'll go draw. Keep everyone happy.
Tip win,
Has
and
to
I
be a draw
don't.
on Munster soon enough.
Yeah,
There's one in
tip
Leinster the
win, and I
weekend.
don't care how they'll do it. But
Tip
I just
win.
want to see a performance and get down there, not be sitting there at half time going, "Oh fuck's sake!" Like I just sitting there and get the grounds at 20 to go, knowing There's no chance. I just don't want that feeling. Like, it's horrible, that feeling.
Yeah, especially, yeah. Stephen.
You have to support your own. I'm going to go for a tip win and three or four brawls throughout the game. I think they have to bring every, that they have to throw everything at Watford. So I'm going to go for the tip win.
David to be sent into the stand, actually.
Jason Ford has to go and hit him on the shoulder, and if he's going to get suspended properly.
Call him, Philippe. The last word was Joe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. By hook or by crook. Right, lads.
Okay, man.
Oh, wait. Okay. Look.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.